Night. Philemon is right before Hebrews, and it could be just a page in your one of your Bibles, you know, could be just on one page. So it's right before Hebrews. Now, sometimes there are certain songs that we might hear over the radio, or maybe sometime we're in a store and we hear the song or other places, and it can remind us of a certain time of life. It can, you know, you can be walking along minding your own business. You can step into a store. You can hear a song. It can take you back to eighth grade. It can take you to a summer in high school. It can take you to a high school dance. It can take you to your college years. It can take you all kinds of places where you might immediately remember where you were, who you were with. You can remember the smell, or you can remember whatever you were going through at that time, or who you were with, or that kind of a thing. And it can be a really good thing, a positive thing, but for those of us who didn't know the Lord, it can not be so great of a little thought that takes us back. Now, I think, at least for me, maybe you too, Bible verses, teachings of the Bible, illustrations, spiritual lessons or quotes, something you've heard, something the Lord has spoken to you, I think that that can do the same thing in your life, where it can take you back to the first time you heard that verse, or the first time that verse like really impacted you and the Lord really spoke to you. Well, recently, I was in my car, and I was driving, and it was, you know, a long distance, and it was night, and I was alone, and I always like to redeem the time. So on that particular night, I got my iPod and plugged it in the car, and decided to listen to a few Kay Smith messages, and Kay is Pastor Chuck's wife, Kay, and a mentor of mine. And I started listening to these messages that she had given at Pastor's Wives Retreat years ago, like 25 plus years ago. And, you know, as I was driving and listening to them and her voice and the impact, I just remembered hearing those messages and the impact that they had on my life at that time. Just like, you know, how the Lord can just take you back and just, like, it was overwhelming. And I remembered almost exactly where I was sitting in that sanctuary, that little auditorium that she gave that message. I can remember the look on her face. I can remember my thoughts. I can remember what was going through my mind at that time. I can remember what the Lord was speaking to my heart. And I can also remember what I was struggling with and the battle that was raging when I'm hearing the word and hear, you know, it's a double-edged sword. And it just can, the Lord just can speak right to you. And boy, I'm in my car and I'm just like, wow. All kinds of, you know, emotion and thoughts and everything can get stirred up. And it was not an easy time those early years. I was a fairly new Christian and a brand new pastor's wife. And so I'm learning you're like at, crash course, you know, in spiritual things. And so I was learning all kinds of things and going through, a lot at that time. You know, if you were born and raised in a Christian home, praise the Lord. Probably most of us weren't. And yeah, learn all that stuff when you grow up. And it's not easy. But as I was listening and remembering some of the difficult things, it spoke to me of his faithfulness and faithful to break me. And that spoke to me of his love, his great love. That's what I equated it with immediately, was his love. His love that he would speak to me. His love that he would refine me. He loves me enough to break me. He loves me enough to refine me. And he loves me enough to say, you're not going to stay like this. Mm-mm. I have work to do in you. And I'm going to change you. And I'm going to make something new out of your life. And I'm going to make you into a new person. And I'm going to make you into someone who resembles me. And that's where he took me back, because that's what he was doing at the time. But you know what? He does that to me to this day, over and over again. The breaking has not stopped. The refining has not stopped. But his faithfulness hasn't stopped. His love, it's all out of love. I receive it out of love. He continues that work. And it is for love's sake that he does that in my life. His love, his unconditional, unfailing, unending love. In spite of who I am, he loves. He loves everything that I go through, all the difficulties. It's love. It's love in my life. Now, some of us have or have had an earthly parent who has shown us that kind of love, where their love is unconditional. They love us anyway. They just love us anyway. They know all of our faults and all of that. And they chastise us and correct us when we need it. But they love us. And we are very secure in that love. And it's as close to God's love as you can get here on this earth for some of us. Or maybe we have a husband or we have an aunt or a friend or someone in our life that loves us in that way, that unconditional way. And so for those of us who have experienced that, it may be a little easier for us to know the love of the Father, for us to believe that he loves us, for us to accept that. To know he's my God, he loves me anyway. I can't make him love me any less, and I can't make him love me any more. He loves me just the way that I am. And if you're in that category, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But there are so many who haven't experienced that kind of love here on earth. In fact, the love that they may have experienced has been very warped, very conditional, very one-sided, and a love that changes and that you can't figure out what it's going to change into. And this may cause some people to accept and receive and believe God's love for them. Maybe it makes it a little harder, because you feel like you have to earn it or be a certain way for him to love you. There's a little phrase in this book of Philemon in verse 9, and that is, for love's sake. I love that phrase, for love's sake. And this letter, it speaks of God's love, the love of the Father and the love of the Son. It's just a little tiny book, but and it's a personal letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. He wrote to a friend and a fellow laborer in Christ named Philemon, and Philemon had a slave, and the slave's name was Onesimus, and this slave had ran away from him. And it's possible that he could have stolen from his master and then ran away. And God's divine providence led Onesimus, as he was out running away, led him to the Apostle Paul. Well, at that time, Paul was in Rome and he was in prison. We don't know the circumstances, but we know our God, and he just, when he wants to get a hold of somebody, he moves them. And so here's Onesimus. He finds the Apostle Paul. And what does the Apostle Paul do? He shares the gospel with him. He shares the love of God and the love of Jesus with him. And Onesimus gives his life to the Lord. So then Paul is writing back to Philemon, sending Onesimus back. And he said to him in verse 12, "You therefore receive him that is my own heart." So receive Onesimus back. Now by the law and by the culture of the time, he didn't have to receive him, or he could have received him and beat him and mistreated him and all of that. But Paul's just saying, you know, receive him as you would receive me. And then Paul said in verse 18, if he has wronged you or if he owes you, go ahead and put that on my account. Now, in this letter, Philemon is a type or a picture of, a little resemblance of God the Father. Paul, writing to Philemon, kind of, pleading with him or asking him, Paul is a type of Jesus, a picture of Jesus. And then Onesimus, in this case, that runaway slave who left the place of the security of his master and ran away, he's a picture of us. And that, the Father loves us and we ran away from him, and then Jesus came in to rescue us. Jesus took that debt and that we owed, and he paid the price. And paraphrase, he would say, "Father, the wrong that she has done, the debt that she has owed, put that on my account, and receive her as you would receive me, and do this for love's sake. Do this for love's sake." And love made a way. The love of the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his Son. Love made a way. And then love paid the price, because the love of the Son, the Savior, he went to the cross for our debt. He paid that price. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Again, Jesus taking the sins on himself. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us. This is how God shows his love to us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's a demonstration of God's love to us. Jesus said in John 15:13, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends," which is exactly what Jesus did. And then in John's first epistle, "By this we know love, because he," Jesus, "laid down his life for us." Everything that God has done and everything he has done for us has been for love's sake. And I hope you know that. I hope you believe that. I hope that just, what I just said, it just sits in your heart right. It's for love's sake. When sin entered this world, into the Garden of Eden, God had a plan of redemption for love's sake, because he loves. And when God saw, as it tells us in Genesis, that the intent of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually, for love's sake, Noah found grace in the sight of God. And God delivered Noah and his sons and wives in that great flood for love's sake. And for love's sake, God called Abraham out of the land of the Chaldeans, and he made him a great nation so that nation, those people, could carry his word and to bring the Savior into the world. For love's sake, God preserved his people while they were in Egypt. He used Joseph to preserve them. And then he used Moses to deliver them from Egypt, all for love's sake. And for love's sake, he gave the law to his people so that they would know how to live and how to please him. For love's sake, he gave them the promised land, and he brought them into the promised land. For love's sake, he delivered them over and over and over again when they sinned and they turned their back on the Lord, rebelled, and then they cried out to the Lord for deliverance. For love's sake, he delivered them, and they did that. I just finished Judges in my quiet time. And it's just this cycle of sin and then their repentance and God's deliverance. But it's for love's sake. They didn't deserve that, but for love's sake. For love's sake, he preserved his people for hundreds and thousands of years. And then he sent his son for salvation. For love's sake, he gave the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the church was birthed in the book of Acts. And that we were to carry the gospel, carry his word to all mankind. And then for love's sake, his compassions and his mercies never fail. They are new every single morning. Do you believe that? Do you receive that? Do you live like you believe that? Receive his mercies and his compassions every day because he loves you. For love's sake, he forgives our sin and remembers our sins no more. Praise the Lord for his love that he would do that. He forgives our sins and remembers them no more. We remember them. Other people remember them. They're gone as far as the east is from the west. For love's sake, we are a new creation, his work of art, because he loves. And as I was listening to those messages and, you know, just remembering little things that she would say, and I just remembered the receiving it at the first time and the emotion and the again, the battle. And then you beat yourself up because you know, it's the good that you want to do, you don't do, and that what you don't want to do, you do. And it's that spiritual battle that's going on. And yet for love's sake, he makes us into something new, something different, something beautiful, a work of art in his eyes. For love's sake, he has given us the power of his Holy Spirit to walk this walk, to live this life. Could we do it on our own? We've tried. And there are days you try, even though you're filled with the Holy Spirit. There are days you try to do it on your own because you don't ask for a fresh filling. And we can't do it. We can't. For love's sake, he loves us enough. He loves me, that he gives me the power of his Holy Spirit. For love's sake, he daily loads us with benefits. Daily loads us with benefits. He's given us so much. For love's sake, as it tells us in Ephesians, he's blessed us with every spiritual blessing and sees us seated in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing, it's all ours. He has given it to us because of his love. For love's sake, he refines, he tests us, so that we grow more like him. Do you see that as his love? And we'll, later in the year, we're going to talk more about that in depth. The refining, the trials, the hard stuff. But it's from love. It's from love. For love's sake, again, he allows us to go through difficulties so that we can reflect him. And for love's sake, he has given to us fellowship with other believers, other people, so that we can encourage them and so that they can encourage us. You know, he didn't have to do that. But he did. We're not alone. We're not alone. It's his love. It's his love that provides all of these things. Now, I hope that as you've been hearing that phrase, for love's sake, over and over and over again, it's kind of settling in your heart and in your mind, and the Lord's speaking to you, and you're thinking about it, and he's taking you places in your heart and in your mind for that. And as I read all those things, and of course, that's just a little tiny list of what he has done for love's sake. Let's just take a minute just to quiet our hearts, just to jot down what comes into your mind for love's sake. What has the Lord done for you? How has he expressed his love for you? For love's sake, what has he done? Big or small, doesn't matter. Just take a minute and jot some things down. There are times where we really feel God's love. Love isn't an emotion. I mean, it can have emotional feelings with it, but sometimes we feel God's love, and then sometimes we don't necessarily feel it, but we know. We know by the things he has done, the things he has provided, the things that he has said, that it speaks love to us. In John's first epistle, in chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Now, if we look at the book of Philemon in a different way, and we kind of maybe remove the picture and the type, and we just kind of look at it through our eyes as Paul, kind of a human standpoint reading it. We can look in verses 8 and 9, Paul writes, "Though I might be very bold in Christ to command you what is fitting, yet for love's sake I rather appeal to you." He's just telling this man, you know, "I could command you to do this, to receive Onesimus back, but won't you just do it out of love? just do it for love's sake. God has loved you. Now you extend that love. Love should be the response from our hearts to the Lord because of his love for us. I mean, it's just a natural response. And it is a human standpoint, right? You have somebody who loves you, like we talked earlier about maybe a parent or a husband or a friend or somebody, a sister, somebody who just loves you anyway. Don't you just love them back? You just love them back. And so it's a response when the Lord has loved us so much that we just love him back. And in loving him back, we love people. We love people. Paul wrote in Corinthians that the love of Christ constrains me, or the love of Christ compels me. His love for me, but then my love for him. That's the motive of doing what I do and serving. It's his love for me that I just turn around and I serve him and I serve other people. Galatians, this is in love, serve one another. 1 Corinthians 13, that famous love chapter, where love is patient, love is kind, and it's long-suffering, and it thinks no evil, and it's not provoked, and all those things. Of course, you can take out the word love and put in Jesus' name. Jesus is patient, Jesus is kind, all that, because that is his love, his unconditional, unfailing, undeserving love toward us. I mean, that is who he is. But it's also how we're to live as Christians. We're to live those verses. That's supposed to be inside of us coming out, our response to the Lord. That love should be demonstrated every single day to all people, not just to the people that love us. Because that's easy. It's easy to love back when somebody loves us. But it's not as easy to love strangers or acquaintances or people maybe who are not so nice to us and those things. But that should be our response. And we all need to be growing in that. I have not arrived yet. So we're to have that love for all people. That doing things for love's sake. So the next time, and I'll just start with the little tiny, trivial, petty things. But the next time we might think, she didn't smile at me, I'm not going to smile at her. Well, for love's sake, go ahead and smile. Go ahead. Or I didn't get invited to this, so I'm not going to invite them to my thing. For love's sake, go ahead. Just go ahead and invite. Go ahead. For love's sake. Well, she didn't return my call, my text, my email, so I'm just going to wait. Wait until she does. For love's sake, go ahead. And call and text and email. Go ahead. For love's sake. You reach out. Doesn't matter if you get anything in return. For love's sake. Reach out. And then we can go into harder things. Maybe in marriage where I think, well, he doesn't treat me right. He won't talk to me. He's not communicating. He's very busy. There's a distance. So I'm going to put a wall up. For love's sake, go ahead and love anyway. Go ahead and love anyway. It's all for love's sake. And that's why I love that phrase. And the Lord uses that in my life. When I don't want to do something because you didn't do this or, you know, those things. And I just hear that for love's sake. You just do it anyway for love's sake. Or that person really did me wrong. I mean, not just a little thing, but a big thing. I was slandered. I was mistreated. I was even abused. Those things are hard, very hard. but for love's sake. For love's sake. Love covers a multitude of sin. God uses love as we reach out in doing those things out of love's sake. All those hard people or hard situations, hard things in our lives, if we just do it for love's sake, whatever that might mean in your life, whatever situation you're in, whatever person you're dealing with, for love's sake. We heard about the love of God, and now we in return, we want to love. We want to be His hands. We want to be His voice. We want to be Him to other people. And in the long run, in the light of eternity, does it really matter? Does this situation, this petty thing or this really hard thing, in the light of eternity, am I going to withhold my love? I mean, what, you know, for love's sake, let's just love. I was talking with a woman Sunday morning and she said something and I just stopped and I said, I like what you just said. I like that. Her son is not what he used to be. And she said, but you know what? In heaven, he's going to be okay. It's going to be okay in heaven. Yep, it's going to be okay. So whoever may be mistreating us or not so nice or whatever it might be, you know what? In heaven, it's going to be okay. So for love's sake, let's reach out and let's love. And I know that just sounds like a simple little thing, but it's not an easy thing. Romans 5:8, again, God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Father, thank you for that love. That love that we can barely understand. It's a great love. It's a perfect love. It's a unfailing love and an unconditional love. We don't deserve any of that love. And yet you are love. And you just shower us. You bless us with love. Father, open our eyes to see your hand of love. For the rest of this evening, for tomorrow, the rest of this week, every single day, that we see things through your eyes. The things that come into our lives and how you provide for us, what you've done for us, what you do for us, Lord. Thank you and praise you for your great love, sacrificial love. And Father, I pray, we all do, Lord, that you would help us to live 1 Corinthians 13. Help us to in love serve one another. And Lord, I pray that little phrase in this book, for love's sake, that whatever we do, we would do for love's sake. Pray that those words would never go away from our minds. And I pray that we would be changed, Lord. We would be changed and we would walk in love. Thank you for heaven. Thank you for eternity. Thank you, Lord, that it will be okay. It will be more than okay as we are face to face with you, worshiping you. No more battle, no more sadness, no more tears. Complete joy. We look forward to that day. And Father, I pray that as my sisters go into their groups, that Lord, you would give them a sweet time. that they would share your love with one another. They would be able to share how you've expressed your love to them, and they would minister to one another. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless each of you.